If you have your Bibles, please open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I can honestly say that I was glad when Dawn said unto me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." It's hard to be away from God and God's people for a long time. 1 week is strange enough, but 4 or 5 is very hard. And I'm so glad to be back. This is going to be more of a testimonial sermon this morning, so hang on to your boots. You'll have to help me. It's going to be hard. To God be the glory. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8, and then we'll get started. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hence there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Our Father, we come to you and give thanks for the opportunity to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he was willing to fight the good fight to the end, looking into heaven. And I pray that today you would help me preach, help me speak, not for anyone to pat me on the back. First of all, that would hurt. But secondly, for the glory of God, and that someone would be saved, and another would come back to Christ, and others who have walked and are struggling would find encouragement in the fight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 32 days and 18 hours have now passed since this lovely cycling accident I've had. Unfortunately, I found myself finding myself on a hot asphalt pavement is not an unusual circumstance. Over the 30 years of cycling, I found myself looking up in the clouds on more than one occasion, in different places with different people. I even one time was in a firehouse, wiped out right in the middle of the firehouse, turning around on a rainy day. But this crash was unique. It was different. I wasn't going to walk away from this one so easily as I did some of the others. A lot of thoughts ran through my head the first minute. Of course, the why question is always going to come. But I have to tell you, originally I didn't really think of the why question. It happened so fast. I simply said, "What happened? What in the world was going on?" You see, it was a perfect day. The weather was perfect. It was over 90 degrees, and I love it when it's hot. Sorry, everyone. But it was fantastic. That's the way I like it outside. And not only that, was it 90 degrees, there was literally no wind. Even when I was riding, it didn't seem like the wind was that strong at all. There were no cars in any direction. I'll put my hand on the Bible. I didn't see anything, north, south, east, or west. I was literally where Jerry Cook's house is at, turning left. I was going to go west, further out, as far as I felt like going. Didn't see anyone. There weren't any dogs on the road chasing me, no snakes, no families of deer, none of that. The road seemed to be in good condition. In fact, I thought that Jerry has good friends with the county because it's perfectly paved right up to his house. And then as soon as you turn left, it turns back into, you know, older county roads. So it seemed like it was just perfect. And it's a turn that I've turned literally hundreds of times before. I'm not exaggerating. You think 18 years, you ride a couple thousand miles a year. It's a couple hundred times you probably turned on that road. Many times. Didn't see a thing. Didn't see dirt. Didn't see pebbles. Isn't life grand, though? You're going down that road, enjoying of life, enjoying things, pursuing your dreams, your goals, your plans for that afternoon or that month or that week or that day. And suddenly an unexpected event comes into your life that you weren't planning on. And if you had a multiple choice, that would not be the letter you would choose. And whatever plans you did make, they're out the door. You ever feel like that? In life. Well, I was fighting a fight, of course. I was fighting a fight, fighting the fight like all of us are, of getting older, always getting out of shape, and always having to fight harder to stay in shape. And the harder I fight and the older I get, it just seems to be more difficult. But I found myself in a different fight. So I'm going to conclude that in a few minutes. Let's look at the text just for a moment. I want you to consider the author of this letter. I want you to consider his circumstance. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote this. And it's considered to be his last letter that he wrote before his execution. So he had lived quite a long time, had served over 30 years, and was in prison. He had finally gotten to Rome, and fortunately, the situation, I mean, we call it unfortunately, but it was God's plan and God's will for this to happen. And so I want you to think about, though, before that, his own experience. Paul was riding his own bike. He was cycling as hard as he could. He was passionately involved going down a road that he believed God had called him to do. He was very strong towards persecuting anyone who would go against his belief system. And he was a good Jew. He was desired to follow the law and follow it strictly and get after those who didn't. And he was, that was absolutely his passion. That was his goal. That was his ride. It was a beautiful day. It was clear. His purpose was clear. And he was passionate about his convictions. And he can take the scriptures and defend them all. And all of a sudden, one day, on a beautiful ride out west, he crashed. That crash is only explainable through the Holy God. He brought it into his life, and the Apostle Paul was flat on his back. Oh, there are many things that he had to fight at that point. Can you imagine? And maybe some of you have been there, being in a world where you had everything worked out, what you wanted to do, where you wanted to go, what you believe, and then all of a sudden, everything's turned upside down. It's exactly where he was. Now, you got to imagine the pain and suffering and that he went through just with that. And of course, he was blinded too. Hurting, blinded, disillusioned, wondering, not why at first, but probably what in the world just happened. Like me, like many of us, he's in a different fight now. There are many lessons you can learn in a fight that you can't learn in other places. I want you to think about it. Moses learned more in the desert than he did in the palace. David learned more in the caves than he did sometimes in the shepherd's field. Jesus went to the cross and endured pain and suffering for us and learned many things as well. Paul had his own ministry. It isn't whether we have all these fights that we face in life, but whether we're fighting the good fight, though. And that's what this text is all about. If we could just focus and think about verse 7, I have fought the good fight. Can you imagine waking up, having that moment, some would say an existential moment, right? where you realize I've been fighting and fighting and fighting for everything I believed and only to find out I was fighting the wrong battle. This is where Paul is at. There's something special about 2 Timothy. If you like the writings of Paul, you probably would like 2 Timothy more than all the others. Not that Romans isn't awesome, they're all great. But this has a grandfather taste to it. He knows he's about to die. He's lived a long time. He's already made it clear, I'm ready to see Jesus. Anyone ready to see Jesus? You get tired in the fight. You get weary. And he just is sitting back. And though all these things are about to happen to him, and I have not faced that. I don't know what it's like to be told you're going to be executed in an hour. I don't know what that emotionally and all that is going through your heart and your mind. But instead of crying all over himself, he sits down like a grandfather would and starts saying, hey, Timothy, guess what? Here's some things I've learned, sometimes the hard way because I'm really hard-headed. And here are some things I think that are going to help you continue this ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we are all called to do. And so you got to love this. And so he gets in there and he says, Timothy, listen to me, son. I fought the good fight. You need to make sure you're fighting the good fight. What are you and I fighting today? Really? What are you fighting? Paul had been in this Christian fight for over 30 years. He's a church planter mainly, but of course he was, as an apostle, he did a lot of things, a lot of teaching, discipleship, that's part of church planting. It's been estimated by scholars he planted over 20 churches himself and many, many more through his proteges. Scholars estimated that in the 30 years of his ministry, he walked or rode, probably walked mostly, around 10 to 15,000 miles. That's a lot. The arenas for his fights are as many as you can think about. I just wrote down a few. I'm sure you guys can come up with a better list. He fought in the arena of the synagogues, amphitheaters, open street meetings, living rooms. He was even in a second story, large fellowship hall where one guy fell asleep. Yeah, he fell out the window. Be careful. He fought in the arena of the governor's palaces, ships at sea and storms, remote islands with lots of snakes, small towns, large cities, Jewish centers, Christian gatherings. He even fought in Rome itself all the way to the end. I mean, he was in a lot of fights in a lot of places. To borrow a nickname given to General Longstreet, I think the Apostle Paul was God's old war horse. He could count on him. He knew he only gave him general directions, and he knew that Paul would get it done because he was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the gospel message. 2 Timothy might be best considered Paul's last will and testament as well before he was executed. So with that being said, and with that context, and with our big idea of fight, making sure you're fighting the good fight, I'd like to walk you through some things that God has taught me over the last few weeks. I'd like to begin about talking about fighting a good fight that begins even with recognizing the presence of God. So after the initial crash and I'm on my back, I'm not thinking of why yet. It's coming, trust me. It's what in the world did I hit or what happened? I had no idea. And I'm looking up. And the first thing you fight is the fight of with God. What in the world is going on here? I was trying to do a good thing. And yet, in the midst of all of that, some strange things began to take place. And I give this glory to God and to the many teachers and friends and family members over the years that have constantly said the same thing over and over again, and it just came out because it needed to. I looked them to the heavens, and I literally cried out, "Where comes my help?" Now, I know a lot of people think that's may think of that differently, but really the writer, the author, is wondering, man, I'm in a lot of trouble here. How am I going to get out of this? I have no idea what's happening here. And then he says this, "My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And you got to understand, I'm looking at the sky. I know that I'm in trouble. Difficulty breathing, so I knew something is normally more than abnormally wrong. And I said, "Dear God, here I am. I need your help. I don't know how this is going to happen, because I tend to try to pick roads where there's nobody on them, so I don't have to deal with people that are texting in their cars. It makes me so mad. I want to lose my Christianity when I see people walking on the side of the road and cyclists, and they got drivers texting, not paying attention. They could hurt somebody." But there was no one around. I thought, I knew God was there. And I knew what I was supposed to do, no matter what I felt like in the fight. And no one likes to jump up and down and say, "Lord, thank you so much for that uppercut. That felt so good. Oh, yeah, those jabs are amazing, Lord. Praise God. Oh, I like the blood all over the place. I appreciate that, Lord. Thank you." But that's exactly what I knew I had to do, because my Lord is with me. And I thought I was by myself other than with the Lord, but an amazing thing happened. Less than a minute later, I imagine, this truck is backing up at high speed. And a lady gets out and she runs over and says, "I saw what happened in my rearview mirror." Now, mind me, I didn't see anybody. And if you stand on Jerry Cook's corner, you see how far you can look down the county road. Right? But she said, I just had this thing. I looked in my rearview mirror. You think she just looked in her rearview mirror? She said, "I saw that." And I said, "Man, I think he might need some help." Of course, my personality, I said, "You think?" And she laughed. And I said, "What can I do?" I said, "I think you should call 911. Now, for me, that's saying a lot, because I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'm going to stand up and go home and drag my bike home. I wasn't going anywhere, and I knew it. She did, and got the ball rolling, but that's only where it began. Not only did God send her as my angel, all of a sudden, there was people coming from all over the place. I don't know how many, at least 4 or 5, and they were pulling up in their vehicles. And they're on the right and they're on the left. The best I could tell, laying down, because I hadn't moved, they created this barrier around me with their vehicles. And they wouldn't go. And cars were slowing down that were coming by, and they couldn't get near me. And all I thought about was, "The Lord, I will protect those who call upon my name. I will cover them." And that's what he was doing. And of course, different people. I actually recognized some folks from Northwestern family, having been there with all our children and some of the grandparents. Couldn't remember their names at the time. And then there was someone from the Merrill Brothers company down the street. And wouldn't you know, it happened to be their, I don't want to say an EMT, but their medical guy. And he's there. And I'm just laying on this road at about 150 degrees. It is pretty hot. And there was no moving me. I had to endure this fight, but I wasn't alone. And I think that's one of the first things you have to understand in a fight. especially the fights that come, is that Satan would want you to feel you're alone. And nobody really cares. Nobody's thinking about you. And, oh, they may have, you know, little platitudes here and there, but they're really not concerned. I want to tell you, as I go on, this has not been my experience at all. Genuine people, some I don't even know, God used to help me. And God wants to help you too. So we're waiting, and I don't know how long it was. It seemed like forever, and the ambulance comes. And so I'm fighting with myself, of course, and now I've had enough time to think about the what, because I really don't know. I've had people ask what happened. I've had a few engineers give me a perfectly logical explanation. Honestly, it's probably accurate, but didn't satisfy my brain. But the whys came. And so here's the next fight. Why me? I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to make the right choices. I'm trying to live my life the right way. Trying to serve you, Lord. I'm trying to keep my body physically fit, as the Boy Scouts say, right? Mentally awake, morally straight. You remember that one, guys? Those of you who are Boy Scouts? Sure. Trying to do all those things. And it rains on the just and the unjust. Thank God it rains on the unjust, because that's what I needed. For without the grace of God, I don't know what happened to me. So I have this fight going on. But it wasn't necessarily the good fight. It was a good fight in the sense that I had to go through it, but I didn't always respond in the way I should. I didn't fight the good fight the right way. But God was merciful. And when the ambulance came and they had to do what they had to do, get me in, that was fun. I was overwhelmed with the grace of God. And I spent as much as I could, because I was actually with this crew in two different places. We'll get that in a minute. And they took me there, and when they got there, you know, you go through and tests and finding out, waiting in the waiting room. Finally, not the waiting room, the emergency trauma room, I guess. Finally come in. I have no idea. I'm thinking it's 30 minutes later, and Dawn's telling me, no, it was like 8:15 by then or something. But that's what happens. And they said, well, Mr. Treadway, you've got a few broken bones here. We're going to have to send you down to St. Vincent's in Indianapolis because we can't deal with the trauma you have. And I'm going, a few broken bones? What's going on? Well, you know, they said I had a few broken bones and a punctured lung, and they're not set up for that stuff. So they're going to take me down. So the same crew that brought me to the from Jerry's house to the hospital was the same crew that went down. So I was glad about that, because I was able all the way down to talk about them. What's going on with you in your life? And how are you? How can I pray for you? And telling them and sharing with them about Jesus the best I can, because I didn't know what else to do, because if I wasn't going to do that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to complain. You know what I'm saying? I fight the fight like you do. And you got choices to make. I can sit there and I can complain. I got plenty to complain about. But I said, you know what? There's more serious issues than my physical pain. There are people that are lost and without Christ. And I didn't know. And they were so sweet. And this particular lady, I mean, the driver's listening to everything. And I didn't know till later that, well, she interacted. But the person with me was a believer. It was good to hear. And we got to pray together and talk about the Lord all the way down. So you have this fight that's going on inside of you. And one of the ways you get through this fight is that you decide, you know what, in this fight, I want to fight the right kind of fight, though. Not the fight of self-pity. Not the fight of feeling sorry for myself. I want to fight the fight of the gospel. I'm going to spend whatever time I can and do that. And we get down to St. V's, and that was a joyful ride, let me tell you. I think they designed those ambulances so that every bump is felt. And anyway, see, I just went right back to complaining again. It's so easy to do, isn't it? I get there, it was an unusual experience. I can tell you about a person. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but got in there, and they did a ton more tests, right, and x-rays. And they come in late. I thought it was like, by that time, 9 o'clock, and Don tells me, no, Keith, it's like 12:30 by now. So I have lost train of thought on all this. And by now, though, when I was there, they're a great hospital, a great staff. They did a wonderful job. And they shot me up with some stuff that helped. I was feeling good. Oh, how are you today? Yeah, praising Jesus is a whole lot easier then. Well, then, you know, it must be a teaching hospital because every time the doctor came in, there was 5 other doctors with him. So they're coming in, they're surrounding my bed. It's, no, it's the last rites. But anyway, it wasn't that. They're telling me about, well, sir, you have 7 broken bones. And I said, okay, it's a little bit more than I thought. And you have a punctured lung. Okay, and we're most concerned about that. But we're going to set you up, but things are a little busy now. Well, it was busy. There was a lot going on there. There was like 500 police and everything else in the ER, so I don't know what was all happening there. I finally got into the room the next day, and through the night was difficult, of course, but I knew that God was with me, and He had already blessed me with angels around me, helping me along the way. So the first hospital said, you've got a broken bone or two, and the second hospital said I had about 5 or 6. And then the next morning, the doctors come up after more x-rays and said, sir, you have 14 breaks. And I went, would you guys quit coming to my room? I don't have too many more bones there. Okay, every time you show up, you're adding to the number. Well, really what it was is that some of the ribs had been broken. The same rib had been broken in several places. So you can consider that one or multiple breaks. I consider multiple personally. And then, of course, my clavicle and everything else and punctured lung and who knows. And I was just sitting there, and they said, we need to address the lung thing as well. So they do the breathing things and have people coming in. And I don't know what they were shooting me up with, but I was able to sleep pretty good while I was in the hospital. So I'm fighting, but a strange thing happened on the way. And I'm still on my way to recovery. I'm seeing the hand of God in all of this. Because you can imagine that in Paul's day, how he really poured himself into the gospel ministry and into people is what we're talking about. And if you read chapter 4, it's just full of the encouragement he has, and he lists names about Priscilla and Aquila and the household of faith. And all these other people, but there's also lists in there as well of people that had to have been disappointing. How about Demas and 10? That's another fight, isn't it? The ones that you pour your life into, or the people that you have concern for, even if you don't know them very well, they could be coworkers, they could be neighbors, they could be teammates, they could be friends of friends, and they're not walking with the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. And you have all these emotions. See, part of the fight, I hope you're picking up the theme here, is the emotional aspect of the fight. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like you got to have emotions. I hope you do. I hope you cry for the lost and rejoice and cry when they come to Jesus Christ. And so we have these emotions just coming and going and coming and going, and God's blessing me, and you've got 8 bones broken. Hey, God's blessing me. Oh, you got 10 now. Oh, you got 14. And you got all this stuff going back and forth, and you've all these emotions, and it's the fight. Lord God, what's going on? What's happening? But Paul is so strong and so good, and he's been down this road so many times. He was concerned. He was upset. But he didn't lose focus of the fight. He didn't get out of the fight. He didn't quit the fight just because things didn't go right, just because he had a few crashes himself. I'm sure that he had more than one regret, particularly with John Mark, right, at one point, with all that was going on. You don't think he reflected more than one time saying, you know what, maybe I could have been a little easier on the guy. Or maybe I could have been a little bit kinder. But along the way, God helped him to grow up. And there were probably a lot of instances that was just one. And he had to fight all of that stuff. And we can get distracted. We can let our emotions distract us, feeling sorry for ourselves or feeling angry with God and all these other things, and miss the fight. What is the good fight? It is the fight for the souls of men. Preach the word. It is a gospel fight. Teach it with patience and teaching. And don't give up. Don't quit. Just because you crash doesn't mean you can't get back on the bike again. And I don't know how many people, maybe some here today, that have been crashed. And maybe the crash was well known. Maybe it was a hurt that was afflicted. And now you're gun shy. And now you're not fighting any fight there. And you've lost focus. I want to invite you to step back and see the goodness of God in all this. And I want you to get back up on that bike today and start fighting again. So we're there, and what's going on? Back and forth with, why did all this happen to me? The why question is starting to take over the what. I'm never going to figure out the what. But the engineers know, so ask them. And they're right, I'm sure. And then I start getting calls, emails, cards, letters, visits. Half the people, I don't even know who they are. Word got out somehow. Somebody told. It spread around the state of Indiana. Then it spilled over into places around the United States. Then I started getting it from South America, Asia, Africa, Europe, you name it. I got letters in the mail that people saying our church is praying for you, and they weren't one sentences. It was like a page long of encouragement. I got so many cards and letters and texts and emails from all of you. You'll never know how much I appreciate that. You'll never know how much that ministered and continues to do it. I've kept them. Because that was God helping me understand that sometimes in the fight, sometimes he puts us in that cave and he causes us to reflect. He causes us to look unto heaven. The pain didn't go away. In fact, after the week there, I'll get to that in a second, after about a week, the pain meds went away. Well, they gave me plenty for like a month. And after they gave them to me, they said, sir, you need to end these in the next 2 days, if you can. But here's the prescription. But you need to work your way off of these things as fast as you can. So I had others as well tell me the same thing. So the pain went from feeling good to really now hurting. Yeah. So there's all of that. We have people in our church that are hurting. And I mean physically hurting too. And that wears you out. And what I want all of you to do is to go find some of these folks and their spouses and family. And I want you to love on them. I want you to hug them. I want you to pour yourself and tell them and let them know they are not alone. And not just use words and say those things, but you follow through and you be there and you do whatever you can, because that's the body of Christ. That's what it does. That's fighting the good fight. And so I had all this and I was wanting to get out. I mean, I appreciate the hospital. I love them all and everything, but you know, you don't want to sleep there. But God's people had prayed, and through your prayers and your encouragement, Sunday morning, the doctor bringing in his five other doctors with him, and I was hoping they weren't going to run the number up to 20, said, "Mr. Treadway, I don't know what to tell you." I'm thinking, "Okay, what do you want to tell me?" He says, "You can go home today." And why is that? He said, "Your lung has healed over." He said, you still have blood and other fluids in it. We have to deal with that, but it has closed up. So you get that box checked off. Apparently there's boxes that have to check off before they let you out. And I guess having your lungs work is one. I don't know why. So he said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Babe, whoo." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go home." So we were able to do that. And I thought, you know, this isn't happenstance. This isn't, "Oh, it just happened." Well, no, it was your prayers. Prayers of God's people around the world, churches and people praying 24/7, because on the other side of the world, you know, they're sleeping now. But they were praying for me when I was sleeping. And then I come home. So I have this great fight that I'm now entering into, the fight of recovery, right? Isn't it a lovely one? Oh, yes. It's so great. And some of us are fighting a fight of survival where they tell you there's no recovery. But they don't know our Lord. Nor do they understand that this is not the end. This is the introductory chapter to our eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
If you're in Jesus Christ and you know Him, that is, you're trusting in Him as your Lord and Savior, that He is the Lord. He is Lord, whether you believe it or not, but He is the Savior. You can enter from death to life. They may take your life physically, but they can't take your spirit or your soul. That's God's. And by the way, to be theologically correct, and I'm really quoting a brother in Christ from years ago, a former pastor. He says, sometimes we get so upset with the devil and thinking that he's got so much power to inflict and to hurt and to steal and destroy and all these things. And the Bible talks about that's what his purpose is. He says it's what he would like to do. But I want you to understand something. There is no power that he has that God doesn't grant him. He doesn't do anything. Don't give the devil that power. There's only one who has the power of life and death, and that's our Creator. And he's the one who gives life, and he's the one that calls us home. Him. And you might be deceived and your fight and get fighting the wrong thing and getting angry at the devil. Don't blame the devil for everything. Sin has caused this problem. We can get distracted in our fight and fight the wrong fights. So we have this going on and we get home and now we have all these things happening. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to continue to fight the good fight. The word Paul uses that's translated fight here is the word agonos. Now that means nothing. I understand. It's just a Greek word. But I want you to listen to the word and tell me what you think word comes from that. Agonos. Agonos. You got it? What word do you think we get from that?
Agony.
Agony. my friend. Struggle. Agonize. Face conflict with the good fight. How distracted we get in so many other things that we fight and worry about, when the main thing we should be worrying about is the good fight. And what is that? Paul explains it in chapter 4. He talks about it right there in verse 7 and lays it out all through it. He says, the good fight, the race, the faith. It is the fight in the faith, running the race you've been called. You have all been called. If you're in Christ Jesus today, each one of you have been called according to God's purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? Can you write it down right now? What is your purpose? What are you here for? And every sheet of paper turned in to us, and we read them, ought to read the same thing. We have been gloriously saved, called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. But we get distracted. And sometimes God brings or allows to happen, I believe it's His sovereign plan, for the crashes to take place. Because there's nothing like a good crash to get you focused on God. And as I lay there on my back on that 300-degree road, looking up into the sky, I didn't think about retirement and all that. I didn't think about all the kids and grandkids and the community. I wasn't focused on all those things that we could get caught up with. I was laser focused on one thing. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I understand. You have to get up. You have to get dressed. You have to go to school. You have to go to work. You have to do these things. But never forget your purpose. You say, well, I'm hurt. I'm injured. Yes, we are all hurt and injured. And by the way, my physical injuries do not compare to the spiritual injuries that I can inflict upon myself in my life. Things that I can do that can cripple my testimony, that can cripple my ministry, that can cripple my mind, that can cripple my relationships. They're far worse than whatever breaks or things they can discover here. And the same with you. Look, I wanted to free you today. I'm not trying to tell you and give you this, hey, just come forward and trust Jesus and everything's going to feel great. I know who preaches that stuff, but that stuff's a lie. My friend, Paul says, agonize. Fight. Don't quit. Struggle. Do it. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's our calling. And you said, that sounds very depressing. Oh, humanly speaking, it certainly can seem that way. Except for one thing. You and I were created to have a relationship with God. And the only thing that's going to bring us peace, joy, love, happiness is to develop and strengthen that relationship with Him. Now, you and I can get distracted doing 1,000 good things, great, wonderful things, and miss Him. What are you fighting about today? Don't wait until you're on your back on a hot road. Why don't you do it amongst friends and loved ones right here? And fight the good fight of faith. There are many here today, I've mentioned, that are going through a lot more pain than I am, facing a lot of serious issues in their own life, humanly speaking, but it's a spiritual battle. So your homework assignment for today is simple. Several things. One, I need you to really think about what you are fighting about. Some of you are fighting the wrong fights. I don't know what it is, and if you need some help walking through that, so we have our pastors, and we have a counseling service here as well. But grab a brother and sister in Christ and have them help you find your fight. Fight the right thing. Secondly, is I really want to thank you and encourage you to look around, and I want you to grab some folks and say, you're not walking alone. I'm going to walk with you. You say, well, I don't even know that person. So? If you won't mind, just for a moment, just close your eyes. I know it's going to be hard for some of you. I'm not going to run up here and tickle you or anything. It's okay. Just close your eyes. Now, I want you to imagine, just for a minute, that someone's on a road and you know something's wrong. You don't really know exactly what's happening, but it's come to your attention. You may not have seen it before, but now you know. You're more aware and you see there's a problem. What will you do? Well, I got to go to the grocery store. I got to go to the game. I got to do this. I got to do that. But is that the right fight? Well, I want you to go over to that person now. And I want you to look down on them. Do you see them? This is the ministry God has given you and me. We have people that are hurting, suffering. Yes, much their own choices. Sin does that to all of us. We are included. Some not their choices. And we may not be able to get everyone on the roads, but God's calling you and I to grab the ones that we come across and that He lays in our heart. Will you reach out? Because that face on the road might be mine or someone you know. Or a stranger. Father, there's a lot of fights that we fight during our life, and a lot of them are fine, and we get it. We need to stand up for, of course, things that are righteous and good, and we must continue to do what is right at work and home. As parents, we fight for our kids. Hopefully we're fighting the right fights. In each situation, the fight of faith. I thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. That though he was bruised and battered, he didn't quit, he didn't give up, he didn't make an excuse. Well, I was hurt, I was burned, I was all this stuff, and I've just had enough, I've given enough, I'm tired, I'm going to go some island and not do anything else. Oh, dear God, thank you that he did not give in to those emotions. But instead, he looked unto heaven, and he fought the fight of faith. It was a good fight. till you call him home. Father, I praise you as well for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who broke something more painful than bones, where no bones were broken in his body. There was something more serious. It was the weight of the world. And he didn't avoid it. He didn't ignore it. It did bother him. And yet, he didn't allow the emotions to cause him to be distracted and to feel sorry for himself and just to cry all the time. But instead, he was motivated to do something about it by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Savior, the Son of God. And I pray that we can fight that good fight of faith in our own life. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are even now in a fight, some of them for their very lives. We can gather around and we must do what we ought to, but right now we pray for them. Help them not to be distracted and be so discouraged to realize that they can get overwhelmed and miss their own calling. For as sure as the sun rises and goes down, our lives and the days were numbered before we were born. No diagnosis can keep or push that day any sooner or later. Help my brothers and sisters to find and experience the love of God through us and through your word and through your spirit. But help them, Lord, to continue to fight themselves as our dear brother Paul did. And as we go out today, we could be renewed. We get weary in the fight, but it's a good fight. And I pray that we would fight it the right way, in love, in hope, in faith. May our healing be complete and use us to bring healing into the life of others for the glory of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, and if you would like to come down and